I get that a lot, I said. This was so funny, it sent her to the floor in giggles. When I helped her up, she somehow landed half on the bed, half in my lap. Take me now, God. Take me while it's perfect. Did you know that you used to sound like a chipmunk? Hold on, God. I did? Oh, yeah. Remember? Earth science? Ninth grade? We used to laugh about it all the time.
You mean you used to laugh at me?
Well, yeah. But that was back when you were a dork. She ran her finger along my jaw. You changed. I took her hand in mine, turned it over, and kissed the palm. I was breathing hard and hoping she didn't notice.
I didn't change, I said.
Did I? She snorted. Oh my God, you? You were like the quietest guy in our class, and boom, you surprised everyone.
Getting arrested?
That surprised me too. She snuggled. Yes, snuggled against my shoulder for 5 full seconds. When I saw you at my parents' party, oh my God, big difference. But you're still sweet, right?
That depends. Do you want me to be sweet?
Yes, she said with a grin. She reached up and brushed my hair out of my eyes. Sweet and harmless and... She pushed me down on the bed and pinned me in the hottest lip lock of my life. Dangerous, she whispered. My brain stopped functioning. My hormones kicked into overdrive and grabbed the steering wheel. I was Wolfman, the Hulk, Casanova, the last man on Earth with the last woman, ready and willing and very, very hot. Her lips were warm and sweet, and if her breath was a little nasty, well, that didn't bother my heart on one bit. Her hand moved down my chest. Yes, yes. And she pressed herself against me, and suddenly my arms were around her, and the noise from the party was fading away, and my hand traced the curve of her back, and I realized that under her fairy leaf skirt, she was wearing those tights, and under those tights, absolutely nothing, and then, because I suck, my brain came back to life, and started wrestling with my hormones. Brain. You don't want this. Hormones. Dude, this is exactly what I want. Brain. No, not like this. She's wasted. Hormones. What's your point? Brain. She won't remember this. And if she does, she'll be angry. Hormones. Do you see where her hand is? God, that feels good. Can't you feel that? Brain. She's drunk. You can't do this. It's wrong. Hormones. I want to do this. Brain. Really? You want to go to school and say you scored with Bethany Milbury when she was so drunk she barely knew her name? Hormones. 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 You're an asshole. I hate you. Brain. She needs to eat something and drink some water. Don't let her drink any more beer. Hormones. Hormones. Yeah, I know. Brain. She'll love you for taking care of her. She'll love that you respected her. Hormones. 5 more minutes. Just 5? Brain. Now. Hormones. I can't believe you're making me do this. Yeah. I did it. I rolled away from her. I counted to 20. Then I counted to 50. I sat up, carefully, and rebuckled my belt.
What's wrong?
Bethany, sweet, wasted Bethany, muttered into the pillow. I want to see if they have any nachos. I love nachos, don't you? Hormones. I cannot believe you just said that. Brain, shut the hell up.
Don't you like me?
I turned on the overhead light. You know I do. I just... Come on, Let's go. She squinted and held up her hand to shield her eyes from the light.
You're walking out on me?
No. It's not like that at all. It's just... Look, Bethany. You're totaled. Shit-faced, no offense. You know, I really like you, and I want to be with you, but someone please shoot me now. Not like this.
She blinked and shook her head a little as the words sunk in.
You're blowing me off.
She tried to stand up, lost her balance, and flopped on the bed.
I can't believe you're blowing me off.
When I reached out to help her, she pulled away and pouted.
What are you? Too good for me? Gay? You don't like sex?
It's not that, I sighed. Not at all.
You don't get it.
Oh, no, I totally get it.
She stood up again, slower this time, and lurched towards the door.
You're weird. You know it, Tyler? I kinda liked you, because you're different. But you're not different. You're just weird.
She steadied herself on the doorframe.
Stupid freak.
47. I followed her down the stairs. I was worried about her tripping, but it wouldn't have mattered because she would have fallen on piles of bodies. A couple hundred people had crammed inside. The party had turned into a tsunami of teenagers floating on noise, smoke, and beer. I lost her in the crowd. I could have stayed right behind her, I guess, but my stomach felt like she had just stomped on it with combat boots, and my hormones were ready to rip my brain out of its skull. I should have followed her because she wasn't thinking straight, and she looked innocent and vulnerable, and she didn't know what she was saying or doing. But I didn't. Yoda saw me wandering and had me follow him to the room where a bunch of guys were playing video games. I kept my eyes on the screen, but I wasn't really watching. He asked me what was wrong. I told him, for a change.
Wow, he said.
Exactly, I said.
Do you want to get drunk? He asked.
Wouldn't help. We turned to the game. Half an hour later, some girl I didn't know asked me if I had seen Bethany, and I told her no. A few minutes after that, Hannah turned up.
You need to talk to Bethany, she said.
No way.
She said you guys had a fight. She's upset.
Good.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. I'm not talking to her. You shouldn't either. Let her solve her own problems. The sound of breaking glass came from the living room, followed by angry voices. Two bodies, fists flying, fell against the archway, bounced, then hit the floor. The crowd surged behind them, hollering and snapping photos. Yoda and I hustled Hannah out the side door.
We should go home, Yoda said.
Hannah frowned.
It's just getting good.
It's only going to get worse, I said. She looked back through the window, wincing as one of the guys landed a punch on a fragile nose.
All right, she sighed. Are you coming with us?
I looked inside. No Bethany in sight. I had no obligations. She invited me, yeah, but then she blew me off. She could go home with her girlfriends or her brother. It was none of my business. She was none of my business. I'm going to stick around for a while, I said.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We're not telling Mom about any of this, right?
Duh.
Hannah gave me a quick peck on the cheek.
Love you, Ty. Stay out of trouble.
The power went out an hour later. Some guy started screaming like a madman, running through the house telling everyone to get out. It was Josh Rawson. Yes, the party was at his house, and yes, his parents were in Jamaica, but Josh had been at a family dinner at his girlfriend's. That was him throwing the circuit breaker to cut off the electricity. That was him hollering and punching his buddies in the head. When the lights were turned back on, I searched all over until I found Bethany curled up on the floor of the rec room. I shook her awake and told her we had to leave. She looked at me with confused, sleepy eyes.
My stomped-on stomach fluttered. "We have to go," I said gently. "They're kicking everybody out."
"Don't wanna," she pouted.
She was beyond wasted. She was headed for incoherent. "We don't have a choice." I helped Bethany to her feet. She mumbled something about her shoes, but I had a bad feeling about where the night was headed, so I basically dragged her out to the curb. "Now what?" "Where's Stacy?" I asked. "Bethany, open your eyes. Where is Stacy? The girl you rode with?" Her eyelids fluttered.
"Left early. SAT prep."
"Great." We were 8 miles away from home. She was barefoot, and even with my jacket on over her sweatshirt, she was shivering. I could carry her, but eventually I'd collapse from exhaustion. She might be able to get enough warmth from my dying corpse until some early morning commuter saw her and called an ambulance. She'd cry at my funeral and keep a bunch of silk flowers and a cross at the spot where I laid down my life for her. That would work.
"No way."
She started towards the road.
"There's my brother. Chip! Chip!"
Chip was driving his Jeep along the white line on the side of the road at 3 miles an hour. He coasted to a stop on the shoulder, and Bethany opened the door. I looked inside. Crap, 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 crap. Chip smiled at me and passed out cold, his head on the steering wheel. Bethany didn't notice. She was already crawling into the back seat, where Parker Zithead was sitting, eyes unfocused. It wasn't a hard decision. I dragged Chip out, marched him around the car, and poured him into the passenger seat. I took the driver's seat. I buckled the seatbelt and turned the key. So the night hadn't turned out the way I'd planned. It had turned out better, because I was a stand-up guy, righteous. When she sobered up, Bethany would realize that. Even Chip would have to back off, because I pulled his nuts out of the fire by getting him and his Jeep home in one piece. The first mile went well. Then Chip began moaning, those deep, low guy moans that meant he was in serious pain and about to, yep, puke his guts out in the footwell. I rolled my window down and tried breathing through my mouth. Chip moaned again, leaned forward, and passed out with his head against the dashboard. I glanced in the rearview mirror to see if the zit head was going to blow, too. I hit the brakes. Bethany had crawled into Parker's lap. They were playing tonsil hockey, with her hands in his hair and his hands where I couldn't see them. "Hey!" I screamed. "Leave her alone!" I yanked the car to the side of the road and threw it into park. I spun around in my seat and tried to peel Parker's arms off the body of my angel. "Get your goddamn hands off her, you pig!" They separated with a loud smack of their lips.
"What?"
Bethany slurred. "Don't do this, okay?" I asked. "Just let me get you home." She gave me the finger, turned, and attacked Parker's face again. Parker chuckled. I pulled in the Milbury's driveway at 3:47 in the morning. I shut off the engine, got out, and threw the keys on the roof of the house. Chip was snoring, his chin against his chest. His shirt was disgusting. Bethany and Parker were still at it. The back window was completely fogged up. They hadn't noticed that the car had stopped. I thought about getting back in the car and driving it into a concrete pillar at 90 miles an hour, but I had thrown away the keys. 48. I existed on cruise control all weekend. Home, bed, sleep, shower, looked at food, threw food out, bed again, stared at ceiling. Nothing worked. The short independent film, Bethany Milbury Hates Tyler Miller, was playing on a constant loop in my head. I tried everything to drive it out. Watched MTV, did 1,000 jumping jacks and 500 sit-ups, listened to music as loud as the volume dial would let me. I even tried beating my head against the wall. It left a dent, but it didn't stop her voice mocking me, her fingers in his hair. I didn't bother with a jacket. If I was lucky, I'd catch pneumonia and die before dinner. As I walked through the gates of the Eternal Rest Cemetery, a flock of crows exploded out of a tree. It was just a matter of time before one of them dropped a depth charge on my head. I did not pull up the hood of my sweatshirt. The crows followed me up the hill. Grandpa Miller had been a traveling salesman, selling seeds and equipment to farmers. He got screwed out of a John Deere franchise back in 1965 and never got over it. He picked out the plot himself, at the top of the hill. Grandma was not next to him. 40 years of marriage was bad enough, she said. She'd rather spend eternity alone. The crows called back and forth. The trees shivered. The wind was blowing a cold front across the graves, preparing us for winter. When the nursing home called to tell Dad that Grandpa had finally died a couple years ago, he hung up the phone and said, "Thank God." I sat on the damp ground next to his grave. His stone was white as bone and as hard as he was. It was so freaking pathetic that this was the only place I could think of to visit. I cried like maybe it might help something. It didn't. 49. By Monday morning, I had almost convinced myself that A, it hadn't happened, or B, if it had happened, everyone concerned was so drunk they wouldn't remember, or C, if they remembered, they'd be too embarrassed to talk about it. It's going to be great. Everything is fine. I'll say something clever and witty to show that she hadn't hurt me at all. No, that's not my heart's blood dripping on the floor. Bethany who? Yeah, she was hot for me, but I had to let her down gently. You know, she's not really my type. I cut homeroom. A hall monitor caught me hiding in the men's room and wrote me up. In calc, we had a pop quiz, which we then got to trade with our neighbor for an instant jolt of public shame. I got a 37. I kicked the soccer ball a little too hard in gym. It nailed some guy in the stomach, and he had to go to the nurse. I didn't do it on purpose, but the teacher still yelled at me. Viral rumors about the party were incubating in the halls. They said a gang fight broke out. They said the house almost burned down. They said Bethany Milbury blew me off in a major way. They said I was one of the kids who went to the hospital with alcohol poisoning. They said Josh's parents were sending him to military school. They said there was another party, a bigger one, this coming Saturday. My head hurt so much by the time English started, I had to keep it on my desk. Mr. Salvatore was not sympathetic. He was all fired up about a few papers that turned out to be word-for-word identical. I tried to listen, but all I heard was plagiarism, academic integrity, and cheating 50 million times. Nobody looked him in the eye. When he had worked himself up to the point where it looked like he might punch the whiteboard, he handed back our papers, announcing who had earned zeros because they cheated. I hadn't copied my essay, honest. It compared the themes of Paradise Lost to Crime and Punishment and came in at exactly 500 words. He stood over me, essay in hand. I had a zero, too. Time to start playing by college rules, Mr. Miller. You need to actually read the book before you pretend you know what it's about. My mouth opened up before my brain kicked into gear. In college, the teachers don't care if you show up to class as long as you pass the final. Do we get to play by that rule, too? The class went quiet. Mr. Salvatore licked his lips. Are you asking for detention, Mr. Miller? Choice. Say yes and pay for it, or say no and look like a weenie. No. Have your parents sign your paper. And don't forge their signatures, okay? Be a man. I waited until he launched into a discussion about the layers of meaning and punishment. Then I raised my hand and said I felt sick. When I walked in the nurse's office, the kid I hurt with a soccer ball, by accident, I swear, freaked out. The nurse gave me 2 Tums and a hall pass and made me leave.